It's 8:01. This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, January 8th. I'm Patricia Naft. Tuesday night, a gyroplane, a kind of ultralight helicopter, crashed in Mesa County. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
Utah residents Mike Burton and Josh Humphreys were on board the aircraft when it crashed into a remote area near Glade Park. Emergency officials say Burton, the pilot, was transported to St. Mary's Hospital in Grand Junction via care flight for medical attention. He was complaining of back pain. The Mesa County Sheriff's Office says Humphreys, the passenger, initially declined medical attention but was later taken by ambulance to St. Mary's for care. The two men were heading for Spanish Fork, Utah when the gyroplane crashed on private property. Heather Benjamin with the Sheriff's Office says after the crash, one of the men called for help using a cell phone.
Care flight got a visual from the air. They were able to pinpoint the crash location and then send in snowmobile rescue members.
Benjamin says the crash was reported to the FAA, which will lead any investigation. In October, a separate gyroplane crash in Mesa County killed two people. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
The FBI is looking for a person of interest in an explosion outside the local chapter of the NAACP in Colorado Springs. The bomb exploded Tuesday morning outside the building that houses the offices of the Civil Rights Organization and one other business. Amy Sanders with the FBI told KRCC's Andrea Chalfin that they're investigating.
Potential hate crime or domestic terrorism are possibilities among multiple potential motives for this crime.
Authorities say they're looking to speak with someone described as a white male around 40 years old in relation to the incident. They're asking anyone with information to call the FBI Denver tip line. 2014 is over, and Joe Ramey is looking back at what the weather was like. He's a forecaster for the National Weather Service in Grand Junction, and KVNF's Jake Ryan talked to him about what last year was like and what we might see in the future.
You know, every year in Western Colorado is an unusual year. We like to talk about climate normal, and what climate normal is 30 years averaged together, and then that average is what we call normal. Well, most years vary from that significantly. So what I like to say is that the climate in Colorado is just 30 extreme events averaged together. That said, for 2014, generally, we came in warmer than normal across the region, with a few exceptions. Precipitation was a mixed bag, with northwest Colorado kind of favored to be above normal and southwest Colorado below normal.
How much would you say of the last year's climate could be affected by or attributed to global warming?
Oh, that's, again, we have large variation. What is normal climate for us shows large variation from week to week, month to month, and year to year. And to say that 2014 was affected by global warming would be difficult at best. It's hard to say one storm or even one year is influenced by this very subtle trend that's going on in the background of what we have in this large, again, week to week, month to month, and year to year variation.
So the normal is so chaotic here that the slight changes that's affecting everywhere kind of gets lost in the noise in this
area?
Well said, yes. With that said, and understanding how chaotic the weather is here, do you have any idea what 2015 may hold for us?
Well, we typically have a dry winter here in Western Colorado, and so far, unfortunately, that's kind of panning out. Certainly from I-70 southward, our snowpack is already falling behind normal, and the outlook for the rest of the winter is uncertain. One thing that we're looking at is that we're looking out to the Pacific for clues to storm track and intensity, and we are developing a weak El Nino. That means warmer than normal waters off the coast of Ecuador. And when those waters get warmer than normal, what we typically see is a dry winter, and then kind of a wet spring. We've seen that time and again.
A quick question.
Sure.
Now, I'm not a climatologist, but how does the temperature of the water off the shore of Ecuador affect when we get precipitation here on the western slope of Colorado?
Isn't that, you know, just about everybody in our society has heard about El Nino or La Nina, but it really is an interesting concept that this little area off in the Pacific Ocean is correlated to weather patterns in the United States. And what they have found over the years, over the decades, is that that when the waters are warmer in this little box between the state line and the coast of Ecuador, when that box is warmer than normal, we tend to have the jet stream set up in a certain way, typically along the southern tier of states of the United States. So that brings wetter and cooler conditions there. When the waters are cooler than normal in that box, then the jet stream tends to set up across the northern tier of states, and that brings wetter and cooler conditions to the Pacific Northwest and to our north. Now, Colorado is sandwiched right, very neatly right in between those stronger signals. So even though that tends to be our strongest tool for seasonal outlooks, especially cold season outlooks, El Niño La Niña doesn't do a real good job for Colorado. Again, we still have this large, you know, variation that occurs here in the Colorado Rockies.
All right. Joe, it was a pleasure talking with you. Thank you very much for your time.
Okay, Jake. Thanks for calling.
That was Joe Ramey, a forecaster for the National Weather Service in Grand Junction, speaking to KVNF News producer Jake Ryan. Colorado lawmakers returned to the state capitol on Wednesday for the start of the annual 120-day legislative session. As Benta Berkland reports, Democrats handed over control of the Senate to Republicans for the first time in a decade.
Republican Senator Beth Martinez-Humenic's close race in November helped tip the balance of power for her party. Martinez-Humenic is from Thornton and hopes to work on education reform and reducing student testing.
And it's taking too long, especially in the rural areas where they have limited access to computers. I was talking to one student, and he said it takes 10 weeks for them to get through the testing.
Democrats have also said decreasing school testing is a top priority this session. Other issues likely to be debated include marijuana edibles, transportation funding, and Tabor refunds. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Not wasting any time, newly elected U.S. Senator Cory Gardner is co-sponsoring a bill with Senator Michael Bennett to speed up the natural gas industry. The bill, called the LNG Permitting Certainty and Transparency Act, forces the government to either approve or reject plans to export natural gas within 45 days. Gardner campaigned on the Western Slope this fall and talked to KVNF's Laura Pomisano about energy.
Not only do we have incredible traditional energy opportunities, whether that's coal, natural gas, other forms of traditional energy, but we also have chances for solar energy, chances for hydropower, chances for geothermal energy. Those are renewable energy opportunities that we should take advantage of.
The bill is also co-sponsored by senators from Virginia, West Virginia, North Dakota, and New Mexico. Up next, Pete the Beat and Alex in the Universe hosting The Sweet Sound. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.